This is the Radio Today programme. Coming up this time, the Arias are being relaunched and moving from Leeds to London ahead of the entries opening in a few weeks' time. We'll talk this week to the chair of the awards, Sam Bailey, to find out everything you need to know if you're planning on entering. There's no James Cridlin this week, but David Lloyd is here with Radio Moments, where Radio 2 says goodbye to Sarah Kennedy and to Medium Wave. Juice Brighton signs off, as do lots of pirate radio stations ahead of the Marine Offences Act, and Capital goes in the mix for the Eclipse 20 years ago. It's all on the way.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
But first, Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here for our usual look at the week's big industry stories. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So it's another week of Bauer news, all sorts of Bauer stories in the last 7 days. Most notably that they're moving Viking FM out of Sheffield. Well, what's left of it?
Yeah, there's only, by the time they make the move, there's only going to be 4 hours a day coming from Commercial Road. It is in Hull. So they're shutting up shop and moving over to Sheffield.
To Hallam FM. So that's provoked quite a lot of reaction this week. We also had the news the same day that West Sound FM, which is a kind of greatest hit station, but on FM, is going to drop its breakfast show and its drive time show and just take the feed from Glasgow instead. I suppose that was something we've probably seen coming for a little while.
Yeah, with the retirement of the breakfast jock a little while ago, they've probably had that in mind ever since that happened. So it's funny that they're making those kind of decisions now when they've been sat on those kind of, you know, the ability to do this for the last 6, 7, 8 years. So I wonder why it's all happening now. I'm sure we'll find out in time.
Yeah, that's Tommy Jardine, who left in April. So Kenny Campbell is on at the moment, and Michael Smith, they're going to be replaced by Ewan Cameron and Gina McKee on the Greatest Hits Network in Scotland. Since last week's podcast came out as well, the CMA announced that the Bauer purchase of the four groups, Wireless, UKID, Lynx and Celador, is now going to go to a full phase two investigation as well. So I presume this means the solutions that Bauer came up with, they had a week or two to get back to the CMA on that initial decision. Presumably the CMA were just not happy with what Bauer said they could do to resolve it.
Yeah, and it seemed like quite a simple thing. I think we even mentioned on here which stations would probably need to go. So we have to assume that Bauer said, yeah, we'll sell this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. And then we'll do this with First Radio sales. So assuming here that the sale of the radio stations to somebody else was fine, it's got to be the future of First Radio sales, which is probably the sticking point in all of this, I think. Mm.
Yeah, so it means it rumbles on well into, well, later this year, early next year. So it's going to be the middle of January at the latest when we'll get a report back from the Competition Markets Authority now on that phase two investigation. So Bauer obviously got to work with them and work out a way forward to some of those problems over the next few months. So that's going to be another interesting one to watch as it rumbles on. It kind of stay of execution for all those people hanging on, waiting to find out what's going to happen to them as well.
Yeah, and Phil Riley gets to stay in a job for another 6 months at least, probably.
So Phil's kind of the overseer, just to check that they don't do anything radical with those groups while Bauer's not in direct control of them, by the way, if you didn't know that. Some other Bauer news as well this week, and this is kind of a big deal. They're going with their own Bauer in-stream service and disappearing from DAX, which is obviously run by Global.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed my ramble a few weeks ago and a chat about it on the podcast quite a while ago, that this war between Bauer and Global just gets bigger and bigger every week, it seems, and this seems like the latest battle. So when Global launched their digital audio advertising platform back in 2014, I think it was, a couple of Bauer's products were on there. So I think it was Absolute and Kiss that was on there. And there's been a few more added over the years. But now Bauer's turned around and said, nope, we don't want to play with you on this one. So they've taken their brands off of DAX and basically enhanced and relaunched their own DAX, which is called Bauer InStream now, and they're doing their own. So, yeah, it's better when everybody's working together, but clearly when you're as big as Bauer and as big as Global, you don't want to be pleasing your competition, so they've gone it alone with this one. which is an interesting move.
Yeah, I mean, all these things that we're talking about with Bauer, we seem to be talking about changes at Bauer almost every week. I mean, the tweaks to Viking moving out of Hull, obviously the schedule changes for West Sound and taking some network programming. And every week there's been something, whether it's been dropping of local weekend shows, Drive being shared across a Hits Radio network that we were talking about a few weeks ago, these changes now this week. They seem to be dripping out lots of stories that from the social media feeds and the reactions to the stories we put out, people tend to kind of groan, oh, what are Bauer doing now? Why are they changing this? Why are they messing with this? Whereas the approach from Global in the past has been to just announce, we're doing this, we're doing it across all our networks, it's going to happen on this date, we're getting on with it. And that kind of big splash did take people aback and said, oh, wow, that's a big change. But it's not something different every week. That's just my thoughts on where we're going with it. Obviously, it's a different strategy. They're doing different things with some of the assets that they've got. But the kind of dripping out of bad news and dropping of programs and more networking seems more severe.
Indeed, yeah. Global pretty much said 10 years ago, national brands delivered locally. And pretty much they've gone by that for the last 10 years and just progressed and tweaked a little bit. And with each announcement from Bauer that we get, it's like we're learning a bit more about their strategy every time. It's like we have to guess. It's all guesswork. They're kind of making regional hubs at the moment. It seems to be the way forward. But then we thought that back in 2013 when TFM moved in with Metro.
Oh, yeah.
2013, that was 6 years ago. So it's taken them 6 years to do to Viking what they did with TFM back in 2013, something the regulation would have allowed them to do at the same time. So it's like they did it with them and they're, oh, we're going to test it. And yeah, 6 years later, yeah, we can do it with Viking as well. And now, as then, people are speculating who will be next. And I think I'm not the first to say this, but moving Rock FM from Preston to Manchester is one of the obvious moves is if they're going to continue doing this. Because let's face it, Bauer doesn't really need a grade two listed church in Preston to do one show a day, do they? They could probably get quite a few million pounds for it.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously what they're doing in Hull, you know, won't need any studios necessarily. They might have a new studio to record something in. There'll be some news and sales staff based in Hull still, but they'll presumably lease some much smaller, cheaper premises elsewhere.
Yeah, they'll sell the property, assuming they own it, which I presume so, seeing as they've been there since, 1984. Yeah. And then they'll just get a couple of rooms on an office complex somewhere and sell the building. Like, you know, they could sell St. Paul's Church in Preston, a similar building to the one that they own in Preston, went for £55 million. I mean, you could buy a few more radio groups for that, couldn't you?
Very true. All interesting stuff. We will watch to see what the next Bauer move is.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Mikasa. Let's move on to the BBC. It's pulled all its services from TuneIn in the UK this week. That's an interesting move that's got people talking.
Yeah, the headline is that it's pulled its services from TuneIn, but if you have an old radio or you use TuneIn on Sonos speakers, for example, it's not being removed from there. So it's a bit piecemeal. It's like, oh, we're removing our stuff because we don't like the deal, but it's probably not worth our hassle to take it off some things. So, yeah, and this is only in the UK, of course. So if you listen to Radio 2 on Alexa via TuneIn in the States or whatever, you're going to carry on doing that. So, yeah, basically they've fallen out. TuneIn won't give them the data they want or give them the sign-in screen that they want, which is hard to do when you're listening on a smart speaker. So yeah, for now they've taken their ball home and all services are going to be taken off, which is a shame really.
Yeah, and I think I've noticed when I ask my smart speaker for a BBC national station, it obviously kicks into the BBC skill and gives me it via BBC Sounds. But at the moment when I ask for Radio Leeds or Radio Solent or Radio Kent, it's giving me it via TuneIn because the BBC Alexa skill doesn't recognise those local radio stations automatically from the name. So I'm presuming they're going to have to fix that before it disappears from TuneIn.
Oh, they'll have to. What happened? Alexa, play BBC Radio Kent. What happens?
BBC Radio Kent from TuneIn.
Yeah, I see. So Alexa, stop. They'll have to sort that out, won't they?
Yeah, but if you ask the BBC, if you say, Alexa, ask the BBC to play Radio Kent, it will pick up the Sounds app.
Oh, okay. But that's more words. Nobody wants more words, do they?
No, fewer words the better. Yeah, so we'll see whether they tweak that in the next few weeks when it disappears from TuneIn. Some other industry news this week. Sean Childerley is leaving the Radio Academy this week. He's been the managing director for the last 9 months. He's not going to be replaced straight away. John Dash, who's a trustee of the Radio Academy and deputy chair, will do the tasks on a voluntary basis, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Something going on there, and I think we did say 9 months ago, good luck, you're going to need it, in the nicest possible way to Sean. And clearly everybody's shaking hands and saying, yep, it's for the best, we're all mutual, and everybody's happy that everybody's splitting up. But there's obviously something going on there, and will we ever find out what it is? Who knows?
Possibly not. We talked about global strategy and Bauer strategy and stuff like that. Well, there was a big transfer deadline day move this week between Global and Bauer. Well, kind of, between Capital and Bauer. It's actually Communicorp, but Capital Scotland's Gary Spence. He's off to Clyde One. He'll be doing the Hits Radio Network Drive Time show from the new year. He's staying on air at Capital for the foreseeable, so he's not been put on six months of gardening leave. He's still on Capital Drive in Scotland. He's been there for more than 10 years on Galaxy and XFM before it. And it will pop up on Clyde One and all the big city stations in Scotland from January.
Talking of Communicorp, let's go to Smooth. And I notice in the Northwest that Carlos, who's been there for a dog's age, he's doing his last show this week. He's probably the longest serving Smooth radio presenter who's done the most amount, full-time presenter at Smooth Northwest, because he was, of course, in the Midlands and at London as well. And he's doing his last show this week because, of course, in a few weeks' time, Drive Time is going networked with Angie Greaves. So good luck to Carlos. Just wanted to say that on the podcast. And also good luck to Dave Brown, wherever he has gone. He did weekend overnights on the network, but he has disappeared, as presenters do sometimes. And apparently we're awaiting news of his replacement. So good luck to them, and good luck to the outgoing Smooth drive jocks in the regions as well, because that's going to happen by the end of the month, isn't it?
It is, yeah. If you're a programmer looking for a great solid jock, why not call Carlos? See what I did there.
Call Carlos. BRMB.
Right, to community radio news now, and some community radio news. This was Radio St. Austell Bay. Yeah, literally. This was a clip from Radio St. Austell Bay. And this is their local news.
Okay, the time is fast approaching 11 o'clock. I'm not saying news items are hard to find today, but...
Online and on 105.6 FM, the news. The news from RSAB.
Okay, the time is 11 o'clock on Radio St. Austell Bay. My name is Biff Griffin, here to news. Supermarket chain Morrison's is launching a new limited edition sandwich that has all the flavours of a classic British pub favourite, ham, egg and chips. The new edition Morrison's Sarnie will be available to buy as part of the retailer's £3.50 meal deal, which includes a choice of any sandwich or salad, a snack and a drink for the next 12 weeks. There's other sandwiches being sold at other supermarkets, such as Tesco's, Asda, Aldi's, Lidl's, to name a few. Right, let's get on with the rest of the news.
Other supermarkets are available.
Well, I don't know, but I like Tesco's, all of them. That is just, I mean, there's so many issues there, and everybody who's just heard that is probably sitting with their mouth open right now. And this is... community radio has a bad name because of this kind of thing. There's so many things we can say about it. Do you want to say anything about it?
I don't really want to say anything about it, no. But, if somebody if a listener complained to Ofcom, I'm sure Ofcom would find some problems with that. There are lots of great people who do compliance training. If you run a community radio station and things like that are happening in your station, get somebody in to tell you about the Ofcom code and what you can and can't do.
Better call Paul. One thing that I will mention about that is the news intro. So you've got, because I'm an imaging kind of guy, and the radio station is very much targeted at one particular demographic. And that news intro is just so out of place. You know, you've got the news on your radio, on the radio, time for the news. And then you've got, you know what I'm trying to say here? This should target the imaging to the radio station. And if you need any help, then I'm available for a small fee.
We're not trying to cause trouble here as well. It's important to say somebody else has shared that online and we've found it and heard it. So we thought we'd share it with you. But this is, you know, it's a real issue. We're not poking fun and saying, you know, this is dreadful. It should be taken off the air. But this is a training issue. And if community radio is going to be the new local radio replacing all the old ILR, it needs to do things properly and take things seriously. Otherwise, the audience will just switch off.
I agree.
Very scary situation at another community radio station, BCFM in Bristol this week. A fire in the studio there, in the corner of the studio, while somebody was doing their show. Thankfully, everybody got out all right. The studio is not in a good way, though. Pretty much destroyed. They've got a crowdfunding appeal to raise money to rebuild it. So good luck to them with that appeal. It's a very scary situation, I suppose, for that to happen. Let's tell you about some tech news this week. Two of the products that you can use to connect instead of ISDN in a great quality manner via your computer on a browser. Both have a new function this week that enables multi-track recording of your session and things via your browser from CleanFeed and from IPDTL from InQuality. You can use their new features. So have a look about those online. I think we did a story on radio today about the CleanFeed changes. So have a look at that. This new advancement in technology, isn't it great?
It is good. It just seems to me like you need a really good computer and a really good internet connection for these to work. And if you try and use these products without any of those two, then it might not quite work. Would that be fair to say? Have you come across this?
If your internet connection's a bit ropey, if you're on some dodgy Wi-Fi, then it's not as stable as it might be. But you get that problem with FaceTime, you get that problem with Skype. The good thing about things like CleanFeed and IPDTL, if you've not tried them, we're using that kind of thing now. And we're nice and crystal clear. It's not Skypey, it's not FaceTimey. It's good audio. If you've got a good mic plugged in and you've got a solid connection, they are great. And they're it's certainly an ISDN replacement.
What do you mean? We're actually sat next to each other, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Looking good today, Stu. Yeah.
You smell lovely.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Salt and vinegar. Right. Some other stuff coming up. Plenty of events. It's Radio Days Asia in Kuala Lumpur in a week or so's time. We will be mentioning some of that on Radio Today Live if you want to follow it. Tuning In North is happening in September. That's the Radio Centre event. And Drive to Digital at the end of October. Book yourself in for that at the British Library. And some events run by Viomux, workshops for people interested in finding out more about the small-scale digital radio multiplexes that are going to be advertised. So these are happening on Saturdays, starting in September, supported by Radio Today. First phase of the tour takes in Belfast on the 14th of September, then Edinburgh the 28th of September, and Newcastle on the 5th of October.
Fantastic. Very useful. Very useful indeed. Looking forward to hearing the reports on those.
Excellent. Right, we'll talk to you next week, Roy. Thanks for that.
Bye-bye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. Next on the Radio Today programme, let's find out about the plans for the next Audio and Radio Industry Awards just announced. We can talk to Sam Bailey, Trustee of the Radio Academy and Chair of the ARIAs 2020. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Stu.
And no stranger to this podcast, of course. You've been on a bit recently talking about the Audio Content Fund, but all about the ARIAs this time. In the last 3 years, of course, they've all been held in October in Leeds. It's changing, though, for next year. They're heading back to London and they're going to be early in the new year. Tell us about the reasons behind that, first of all.
Well, we had an amazing 3 years in Leeds, and we had fantastic support from Leeds Bid for three amazing years. We couldn't have done it without them. You say moving back to London, the ARIAs have never actually been in London. They were the Sonys, of course, then, or the Radio Academy Awards, and the ARIAs, as we know them now, as a sort of theatre style show, was very much born in Leeds, and we had a fantastic time there. So, off the bat, I really wouldn't want anyone to think that this was anything against Leeds. Leeds. We just, as the trustees of the academy, we wanted to respond to some feedback from members. We wanted to change things up a bit. Our aim really is to make the show more intimate, hopefully attract even bigger talent than we had in Leeds. So it's really just time for a change, and it's and we're really excited about what we hope to be able to put together.
And so it's going to be an awards show as the Arias have been, rather than an awards dinner as the Sonys were when they were in London.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, we're looking at a major West End theatre with the venue and date to be announced soon. We'll still have a performance element to it. It will still have a star presenter and lots of star award givers as well. A drinks party before, a party afterwards. And so I think it will be much more familiar to people as the Arias than as you say, the old Sonys. But we hope to make things more exciting as well.
And I guess, as they say, all routes lead to London. So it's easy for anybody from anywhere in the country to get into London on a train and stay overnight and that kind of thing. I suppose the other thing is making sure it's affordable for people who want to be able to get there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the tickets in Leeds were free. That was sort of in recognition in a way of the fact that people had to make quite long journeys and stay overnight and stuff, and also it was thanks to the support of Leeds Bid to be able to do that. There'll be a different structure this year, so that we will be charging for tickets, but they will be affordable, and there will be concessionary rates available for nominees who wouldn't otherwise be able to come. So we want to absolutely make sure that this is still a party that everybody can get to.
So the awards open the beginning of October, so people will be starting to kind of think about some of the audio that they might be putting forward for the awards. There's going to be a 5-week period when you're open for entries. What should people be doing now in the build-up to before the awards open?
Well, what I do now is I check out the list of categories on the Radio Academy website. They'll be very familiar to people that entered last year. No huge changes. A couple of tweaks which might be worth us having a quick chat about. So a couple of them are just in the titling. So the Best Music Presenter at Breakfast. We used to have Best Music Presenter at Breakfast and Best Music Presenter non-breakfast, which felt like a bit of a sort of technical mouthful. So the Best Music Breakfast Show, it's now called, nice and simple, and the Best Speech Breakfast Show, and then that's paired with the Best Music Presenter and the Best Speech Presenter. So those are hopefully a little bit clearer. For a number of years, we've had the Best Podcast, which is not open to the BBC and to commercial broadcasters. To recognise that and to name that more accurately, that's now called the Best Independent Podcast. So the rubric remains the same, and that's not open to the BBC or to commercial broadcasters. And it is genuinely for independent podcasters, and a very competitive category it has been the last few years as well. The new category this year is the Moment of the Year, and that's the first time actually that we're going to do a category where we put it out to the general public vote. We've had Radio Academy members votes before, but this is an opportunity really to get the listening public into the awards and understand what they are, and to vote for their best moment of radio or audio that they've heard in the last 15 months. So what we're going to do is ask the members to nominate bits that they've, things that they've heard on the radio that they think are absolutely standout moments of the year. And then the trustees will shortlist 10 and put those out to a public vote. And the only other small change, which is quite a big change, is for the Local Station of the Year, which has been renamed the John Myers Award for Local Station of the Year in recognition of all of the work that John put into pioneering local radio. So we're very proud to be able to do that. So those are the categories. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to publish the rubrics. So we're going to publish the rubrics ahead of time so that people can prepare their entries and they'll be able to start working on their write-ups and their audio.
And you're talking about the podcast award. You obviously mentioned it's not for commercial and BBC stations. I guess podcasts that those commercial and BBC stations are making will fit into other categories, whether it's a factual series, fictional storytelling, whether it's sports show or a news coverage event or something. So it's not to say people can't enter a podcast if they're working in a commercial or BBC radio station. It just doesn't go into that category.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's in a way one of the reasons we made that decision a couple of years ago to reserve the podcast category for genuine independent podcasters. But with the exception of a handful of pretty obvious ones like breakfast shows and Station of the Years, all of the categories are open to all platforms. So whether that's gone out on the radio, gone straight to podcasts, an online radio station, community radio, hospital radio, audio that you've made in your bedroom, you know, we want to be a broad church, and all the categories are open to all platforms, as I say, apart from those very obvious exceptions.
And quite important for anybody who is starting to put together their award entries now, even before the awards open for entries, you've removed the ability for people to put production and sound effects and things in. So any audio that people are submitting has to be what has been published in the podcast or what's been broadcast on the radio, yeah?
Yeah, I think what we've done there is again, responding to feedback from our judges in the last year and the previous years, and clarify, level the playing field out, because some categories we were clear about it and some it was ambiguous. So what we're saying is that the audio entries for every single category, the audio criteria are exactly the same. It's up to 15 minutes, the audio length. Within that 15 minutes, you can have a maximum of 10 excerpts of audio that went out. So a maximum of 10 clips with a dip to silence between each clip. So that means, of course, you could just do one 15-minute chunk. And I think that people working in long-form factual or comedy often quite prefer to do that. But perhaps if you're trying to put together a Station of the Year or a breakfast show entry, then 10 clips is the better way to go. But what we were hearing feedback from our judges that they weren't exactly clear every time whether, you know, a whoosh or a beep or a bang or a fade or a mix was something that was broadcast or whether it was packaging in the entry. And we want to be clear that our judges are judging what went out and they're not judging the production of the entry, because that could be a whole other category itself, I think.
Yeah, and everything that people are submitting, it needs to have obviously been on the air or been published as a podcast. And the period that covers this year is a bit longer just because the awards have moved from the autumn into the early part of next year. So 1st of July 2018 through to September the 30th this year.
Yeah, that's right. So it's 15 months this year because we're sort of resetting the clock. And then we would anticipate a 12-month window in the future. So nothing will miss out by the fact that we're changing the time of year that we're doing the entries and doing the ceremony. So the previous award cycle ended at the end of June in 2018, so we pick up the day after.
In terms of the judging, you mentioned the judging panels and some of the feedback you had from them. So it's panels of judges, and they're chaired again by Phil Riley this year, I think.
Yeah, so Phil's the chair of the judges, and he's pulling together a team of head judges, there's a head judge for each of the categories, and then there's a team of judges that listen to all of the entries. So we work quite hard, of course, to make sure each category is a representative group of women and men from across the sector, and each category also includes a 30 under 30 alumnus again. So we're making use of the young people that are coming through that award scheme to make sure that we've got a good spread of experience in there as well. So the entries close on the 7th of November, and the judging will start at around about that time, a few days after that maybe, and our aim will then be to get the nominations out before Christmas.
And I know, because I judged going back a few years now when it was the Sonys, and I'm sure you've judged before, Sam, you get some entries that people submit things and you think, that's really not very good, why have you put that in? So the judges are looking for standout stuff, especially when you've only got a 15-minute audio to submit. You need to put the very best to showcase your programme or your station, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like doing a demo. If anyone listening has ever been to Demo Factor at the student radio conference each year, then the first thing that you hear, and you hear it again and again from the judges on Demo Factor, from Paul Sylvester and friends, is that you have to put your best stuff up front and you have to grab the listener's attention within the first 15 seconds, otherwise you're gonna get that big buzzer from Paul Sylvester. But so it's 15 minutes, and if you're trying to represent an entire series or an entire station, competition, then you have to absolutely pick your best stuff. The rubrics will spell out precisely what the judges are looking for within each category. So a bit like when you're doing a job application, that document is your best friend. Make sure you kind of refer to it and use it as reference. But generally, they're scored on sort of three areas in the ARIAs. Creativity, so how innovative and new and fresh the idea is. Production value, so how good is the execution, the quality. And presentation, how do the voices sound, how engaging is the presentation, how engaged is the listener. Those are the areas that the judges are asked to score on. And then there's the kind of X factor as well. I mean, the judges will usually meet either around a table or over a conference call if they're spread across the country, and they will just talk about them and kind of go, how has this entry made me feel? How has this entry kind of reflected the station or the brand? And there's that element to it as well. But you've definitely got to kind of focus on those three core areas of creativity, production values, and presentation.
And they are open to anybody as well. Any organisation that's making audio or making radio can put an entry together and submit it.
You have to be a Radio Academy member, but a great majority of people working in our industry can be Radio Academy members for free, because we have so many generous patron members. A large number of employers are Radio Academy patron members, and that entitles all of their employees to register their membership. If they're not members, Radio Academy membership is £36 a year, and I of course would urge everybody to become a Radio Academy member. And then the entry prices for the ARIAs for this year, we're going to have an early bird rate for the first week of £35 and £45 after that. So again, I still think very accessible, very affordable for individuals to enter as well as organisations.
Great. Well, we look forward to hearing more about the awards show and when it's going to be and where it's going to be in due course as well. And the entry's open 1st of October, so get your audio all stocked up and ready to enter. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Stu.
That's Sam Bailey, the chair of the ARIAs for 2020. And keep an eye on radiotoday.co.uk for all the details when those award entries open. Still to come, David Lloyd's Radio Moments in just a second. First, a word about CleanFeed. We mentioned it earlier on. They have a new feature where you can, in the pro version, record multitrack all your different remote guests. Give it a go. It has a free version as well, and it's great for just doing a quick interview with somebody or hosting your show from somewhere different to usual. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and connecting live quality over the web. And as we said, you can record with it. There's a pro version. There's a free version that won't cost you anything to get started with or use, and it'll only take you 30 seconds to sign up. Find out more today at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
Weekday mornings on Radio 2 now mean Vanessa Feltz, but a decade ago that show belonged to Sarah Kennedy. Her last programme was this week, 9 years ago.
That is the Dubingtons. Has the date filtered into your consciousness yet? Yes, it's Friday the 13th. A disaster! Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. Well, has anyone seen any of these shooting stars that we were meant to have seen all last night? I must admit, I had one of those nights last night. I woke up at 1:20. I mean, I know I've said this to you so many times, but I'm on a bit of antibiotics because I've had a chest infection Tuesday and Wednesday. And I know these things. If I don't do something, you know, they take hold, and then I can't come into work, and I don't want to miss you see.
Sarah Kennedy and her last show on Radio 2 this week in 2010.
That is Bob, of course, and I hope you have a really, really wonderful weekend, and thanks to Anthony and his colleagues for everything that they've done for us. Keeping the old desk going. You for your wonderful contributions.
Staying with Radio 2, in 1990 this week, the station gave up its AM frequencies.
It's Gloria Hunniford here on Radio 2 Medium Wave. And if you're wondering where all your regular Radio 2 programmes and pals have gone to, well, they're now over on the FM waveband, where it's business as usual and where you should be at this very moment.
It all sounds a bit complicated, doesn't it? What do we do if we've got a query, Jim?
Send us a stamped addressed envelope and we'll send you a leaflet explaining the changes. Now, the address to which to write is BBC Radio 2 FM, Broadcasting House, London W1A 4WW. Give you the address again, a stamped address envelope.
We used to have to go through those postal addresses, didn't we? Jimmy Young as Radio 2 left Medium Wave this week, 29 years ago. As the brand changes and networking continue, let's remember this Brighton farewell from this week last year.
It may be the end of juice, but there's something very exciting coming to Brighton very soon with Capital Brighton starting on September 3rd. So do make sure you join them then. All that leads me to say really is from all of us here, a huge, huge thank you to you, because it's you we do this all for, and it's you that kind of keeps us going as well, to be honest, with all the amazing support and love you've given for Juice and for all those funny stories, you know, keeping us entertained. It's been a lovely, lovely last 20 years, and thank you for all the sort of stories and memories you've given us. From every single one of us here, a massive thank you. Have an amazing rest of your summer. Don't miss us too much. Hope you'll hear from us in various forms very, very soon. But all that leaves me to say is Brighton Juice 27.2, over and out.
Oh, the end of Juice in Brighton this week last year, ready for a capital future. This week in 1988 saw early experiments in frequency splitting, where stations that had been simulcasting on both AM and FM tried something different on each. BRMB was dipping Robin Volk's toe in the water with BRMB Gold on AM, whilst News was across on FM. Meanwhile, in Scotland...
It's 4 o'clock. This is Radio Clyde, and we're going to split and go our separate ways. That means on 102.5 FM in stereo, it's Mike Holloway.
Cheers, Jake. Over Strathclyde, this is Clyde FM. Clyde has now split the airwaves. You're in tune with the most exciting commercial radio station in the world. This is us. We're right over the top this afternoon.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Clyde splitting into two this week, 31 years ago, before the launch of Clyde 1 and 2 about a year or so later. This week, of course, is a big one for followers of pirate radio history. It was on August the 15th, 1967, that the law was passed at last to close the loopholes that had allowed pirate radio stations to set up at sea. Apart from Caroline, they all gave in, one by one.
And our last commercial on Radio London is one of those catchy musical jingles, Congolese Cigarettes. Get the new idea in smoking. Well, what more can I say? It's time for me to say goodbye. When I think back to about 2.5 years ago when I arrived back in England from Hong Kong, a penniless bass player and a hick jock, and then Radio London gave me the chance to come into your homes, which has been the most wonderful thing in the last 2 years.
The time is 1.5 minutes before midnight, and we're now closing down. On behalf of the 270 men, the radio technicians, the captain and the crew, and everybody on shore concerned with Radio 270, this is Rusty Ullman wishing you God bless and Godspeed. Good night and goodbye. Radio 270 is now closing down.
The end of a phase in British radio history has many pirates closed this week in 1967. There you heard the final moments of Radio 270, little 270, anchored just off Scarborough, and Ed Stewart there on Radio London too. After that date, apart from the birth of Radio 1, little else changed for disappointed pop lovers. And that's maybe why this week, 2 years later, 1969, the press was reporting that about 1,000 people, mostly teenagers, marched to the Conservative Party's central office yesterday to ask the Tories to introduce local commercial radio if they are elected to power. And the article goes on to say they handed in a petition signed by several hundred people protesting at the government's completely negative broadcasting policy and declaring that if the BBC and commercial radio stations were given equal opportunity, British radio would be unique in its range of educational and entertainment programmes. Well, there we go. Capital has changed a bit over the years, hasn't it? Here's something rather nice from this week 20 years ago. It was a solar eclipse and Capital was deciding to provide the accompaniment.
If you were standing at Land's End at this very moment, looking due west, you would be able to see a huge band of complete darkness racing towards you across the water at 3 times the speed of sound. It will make contact with Land's End, Cornwall in 5 seconds.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Totality would now last for 2 minutes and 2 seconds. In the mix with the solar eclipse. Still standing at Land's End and looking due west, you would see the opposite effect you witnessed 2 minutes ago as a huge band of brilliant light races towards you and totality comes to an end. 95.8 Capital FM, London.
Beautifully done. The solar eclipse on Capital this week in 1999. So, with the final Nick Bailey programme on the Classic FM he'd started 2 years ago.
And I'll leave you with this email from Chris Foxcroft from Bishop Stortford. And he says, Nick, so the close beckons.
The last Clitheroe Kid on Radio 2, 47 years ago.
Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Licked by a Stump.
Radio beginning in Hull 95 years ago.
And he put on talks for his scouts.
And One Extra making its debut 17 years ago.
And what a way to launch dub plate pressure. That's so hot off the press, it's still smoking.
It's blinging blood.
There's fire coming off the vinyl.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and to Roy Martin and to our guest this week, Sam Bailey. That's it for this week's Radio Today programme. Back again next week with more from the radio industry.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.